He's all things, cameraman and everything. Well, praise God. You brought your Bible?
Yes.
All right. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we want to thank you this day, this hour, for your loving kindness, your grace upon our lives. We thank you today for the Word of God that works always. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. That your Word is everlasting, Lord. It never changes. You never change. What you said way long time ago, it still applies today. What Jesus said still applies today. What the apostles and what Paul wrote and the scriptures for us today is still alive today. Your Word is alive. Your Word is true. It will always come to pass when we apply it to our lives. We thank you, Lord God, for the Word. We thank you for those that are watching online. We ask your blessing upon each life, each family. So we apply the blood of Jesus to every person here, every household. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that sets everything in order for us, because he paid it in full. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, turn in your Bibles with me this morning. We are going to look at a pretty wonderful topic, and that is about the blood of Jesus. So we're looking at, the study of the blood. And this is a doctrinal study, and the church needs to understand about the blood of Jesus. You know, the devils, they don't like the teaching on the blood. And so, we have been redeemed by the blood. I entitled this message, Redeemed by the Blood. For a text, go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, and then go to Ephesians 1, 7. And I want to read the King James Version. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know, here's Peter speaking to his own people, the Jewish people. You know, Peter was a Jew. And of course, you all know that the first church was a Jewish church. Jesus was a Jew. He came unto his own and got the apostles from that bunch and began to reach out. And so he says, for as you know that you were not redeemed. Everybody say redeemed. You are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. You know, when people get kidnapped, usually the people who are kidnapping want money, silver and gold. So you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. The word vain and conversation refers to the old lifestyle, old behavior that you had. And so, received by the tradition of your fathers. You know, we like to have traditions. Traditions of your fathers. Nothing in our past is going to save us or help us, no matter what culture we're from, unless it's from the Jesus culture bunch, the Bible. So, he says there, but with the precious blood as a lamb without blemish, without spot. So we were redeemed, according to that verse of Scripture, with the precious blood of Christ. In other words, Jesus' blood redeemed you and me. Ephesians 1:7, in whom, I like one of these scriptures, in whom, you know, there's 133 or 34 or so of those scriptures in the New Testament that says what we have in Christ, in whom scriptures. Because we have been in Christ or born again in Jesus, we have all these things. So there's promises in the Bible. It says, in whom we have redemption. So if you're in Jesus, you have this redemption. We have this redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we have two scriptures that we can find this teaching on. There's more than one, there's more than two scriptures like this, but it says that we've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus. So I want to say that without the shedding of the blood, like the scripture says, there's no forgiveness, no remission of sins. If there's no remission of sins, we're not born again, we're not saved, and there's no promises, and we're still under God's wrath. We're not going anywhere. In the Old Testament, God told Moses and the Israelites something that applies to us today. And that was to apply the blood of the Lamb for their redemption. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God never loses its power, never fades away. And it's this Word is applicable to us today. Are you guys doing okay this morning? Okay, because I don't know if you're don't recognize me. I'm your pastor. Okay, so I don't sense any spiritual fuzzies. So say, I love you, Pastor. Say, I love Faith City Church. Say, I love Jesus. Okay, that's good. I'm glad you do. I love you too. I love every one of those things. Okay, so God told Moses, instructed the children of Israel to do something way back there. They took the lamb, which symbolizes Jesus Christ. That's why one of the apostles said, behold the Lamb of God, when he saw Jesus who takes away the sins of the world, coming down the road. Jesus, in the scripture says, Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, that God planned our salvation a long time ago. Every one of us. God gave Jesus to the whole world. Whoever wants to receive the gift can receive the salvation. And so, God told the Israelites to take the lamb and slay that lamb and cook it and roast it, and so on. And gave them a little, instructions on how to cook that lamb. They had to follow according to what was written. And so they took the lamb and they took the blood and applied it to the door of the house, to the sides of the doors and the top of the door, symbolizing the cross of Jesus and the blood. That was a sign to them to apply the blood of Jesus. And when they applied that blood, the Bible says that God's allowed the destroyer to come and destroy those Egyptians. And if they applied the blood and stayed within the confines of the house, did not come out that night, they were saved, protected from the enemy. Protected. Everybody say protected. So they applied that blood to the house where they were. You and I need to apply the blood to our house. Yes. And I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, what God told the Israelites, he told us to do it. Yeah. It's still in effect. It's the same instruction, a little different wording back then, here and now, but it's still, the blood still applies. Yeah. So the Bible said they were protected from death. Yeah. They were protected from disease. They were protected from whatever, attack of the enemy. They were preserved. They were healed. The Bible says about them, later on the psalmist wrote about this, and it says also says in Exodus, that they came out of Egypt with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among them. In other words, God brought them out. They were emaciated, skinny, malnourished. Some of them had broken bones, missing parts, very sickly, weak, working for a hard taskmaster. The Bible said they came out. Not one person came out sick. They were restored fully. That is a picture of our redemption in Jesus Christ, that God wants all of us well. God wants every home protected. So they came out that way. Not only that, The Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. They came out with silver and gold. That's a picture of our prosperity, that God wants us to have everything we need. And they, when they went into the desert, where do you think they get all that jewelry to build a calf? Huh? They built this calf and they took the money and abused it. And they made calf. Some of you have a calf outside right now. So anyway, you know, we need to see that in the picture. This is a picture of our redemption. If you look at the Israelites, you know, you read, Romans 15 says there, 1 to 5, it says that whatever happened to the Israelites is an example for us today to learn from. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11 says the same thing, or 10, 1 to 5, or 1 to 7 says that it's the same thing. Whatever happened to the Israelites applies to us. That's why we look to the Israelites today. We see the time clock and all that seasons going on and so on. We get a picture of what's happening in the world. But do not be afraid. So, let me just read my introduction to you. In the Old Testament, God gave Moses and the Israelites something that applies to us today. It was to apply the blood of the Lamb for their redemption. The Word of God is eternal. It never ceases and never loses its power. God told them to apply the blood to their homes, and He would redeem them from death, and to purchase their freedom from the bondages of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. After he instructed them to take the lamb for each household, they were to eat it, but apply the blood to the doors of their houses as a sign of their faith and obedience. Now it says here, Exodus 12, verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." So they were safe from destruction. What does the redemption mean? We read the scripture that we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The word redemption, Strong's Concordance says that redeem is exorazo, which means to buy out, to ransom, and to rescue from loss. So the blood that was shed for us bought us out. I mean, he bought the whole thing out, bought the whole package, all of us. The Greek lexicon says to redeem means to redeem by payment of a price. So Jesus paid a price. He shed his blood. The Greek eragazo means to recover of a power of another, to ransom, to buy off. To redeem means to be purchased, ransomed, rescued, and delivered. That sums up a lot of things about us. We need to get this in our spirits and not just memorize it. In the Old Testament, redemption involves deliverance from bondages based on payment of a price by a redeemer. So as we mentioned, redeem means to buy back with a price. And the scriptures does say that Jesus bought us with a price. Jesus bought us back from the enemy with the price of his own blood. Like Israel, we were sold under the slavery, under the power, under that power, but we are no longer under that power, according to the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Colossians about what we should be thankful for this morning. And that is Colossians 1, 2, chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. Paul is writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church at Colossae about what kind of prayer we ought to offer to God. And if you don't know how to offer anything to God, this is what you can offer to God today. Because some people don't want to offer God any praise unless they feel something. We don't offer praise to God based on what we feel. We offer praise to God based on what is written. And Lisa was trying to exhort people to say, I'm not going to live by what I see. I'm not going to live by what I feel. And all you Montreal Canadian fans are still unhappy. And the Boston Bruins fans and half of the Leaf fans are still crying. So let's apply the blood. The past is gone, praise God. Amen? Amen. There's a cup coming somewhere. Amen? I'm not going to look at anybody close too long because I see a lot of guilty parties. Okay, Colossians 1, 12 and 14 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet, or the word meet means able, to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, who will someday deliver us. That's the way some people read it. One day, when we get to heaven, we will be delivered. And so, this is a faith thing. And if it was so easy, everybody would be enjoying such great ecstasy every day. But you have an enemy. God told the Israelites, I've given you the land, but you're going to have to fight off the enemy. And Brother Hagin used to tell us, just because this is so in the Bible, doesn't mean it's going to fall off of a tree like ripe cherries and enjoy. We're going to have to do some fighting. That's the fight of faith we're talking about. I'm not going to live by what I see. I'm not going to live by what I feel. Yet so many people are living by what they feel, what they see. A little bit of snow. Still keeping people away. It's easy to get, once you start not going to church, it's easy to not go the next time. And the next time after that. And the next time after that, pretty soon you're out there doing the things you used to do before you were born again. Huh? We need to come back to church. And bring somebody to church with you. Bring a cat or whatever you got at home. Bring it to church. Glory to God. Amen? He has delivered us. Everybody said, has delivered us. So right now, I don't care if you're addicted to drugs, addicted to smoking cigarettes or pornography or whatever you got as an addiction, gossip, whatever it is, you have been redeemed. I didn't say you feel like it. I didn't say you actually look like it. You are redeemed right now. Everybody stand up for a second. Lift up both hands and say, Thank God. I am redeemed. I'm not trying to get redeemed. I'm already redeemed. God says, I am free. According to his holy word, I am free right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This is a good exercise. Every once in a while, amen, amen. Come on, give yourself a clap, your neighbor a clap. Oh, we thank God, amen. It's good news to know that we have been redeemed. You may be seated. Thanks. Now, he said, who has delivered us from the power of darkness? That's the enemy, the devil and all his courts. We have been redeemed from the power, whatever power it is in the darkness. See, he can only have power when we go into darkness. He don't have any power when you're in the light. When you're in the light, that means you're walking under the revelation of what you know to do. As soon as you say, no, this is wrong, the blood of Jesus cleanses you. You know? So thank God, we have been redeemed. We're not trying to get redeemed. Thank God that we are right now. I'm not going to ask God. I'm not going to ask anybody to pray for me. I'm not going to ask anybody to put oil on me. I'm not going to ask the prayer team to pray for me. I'm not going to call anybody in Tulsa or California and Texas where there's a lot of good Christians that pray. I'm going to just act like it's so. I'm going to act like Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom I am in Christ, I have redemption. Amen? Even if you fail 100 times, even if you fail this morning, you're still redeemed, praise God. Amen? I am redeemed, praise God. We are redeemed. Thank God. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and then translated us or transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son. In whom we have redemption. We have redemption. How? Through his blood. Jesus had to shed his blood to buy us back. He poured out his blood. Thank God that we are redeemed. He shed his own blood, the Bible says, and Jesus said it's a sign of the covenant. The Bible says that under the new covenant we have better promises. Paul compares the Old Testament priest duty under the old covenant and the responsibilities of that to what Jesus is for us today. And what his priestly duties are for us today under the new covenant. One of the things about the new covenant priest, Hebrews 3 says that Jesus is a high priest of our profession or confession or whatever we say. Jesus takes what you say and makes it come to pass in your life. He is the high priest of your profession or confession. Whatever we say, that's why he said, that's what he taught. Whatever you say, you have what you say according to the scriptures, not according to what philosophies say or whatever. You say what the Bible says. I can't make what the Bible says happen in your life by me. You have to do it for yourself. That's why it takes a long time to pray for people and stand with them for years, sometimes for a long time, to stand with them so that you pray protection over these people until they come to a place where they come and understand that they can have redemption, that they can be free, that so whatever. That's why you have to continue to stand in prayer for people. Don't pray the same prayer. Just say, thank God, I'm standing in faith for this. Lord, I just want to remind you, I'm still standing. Amen? Amen? So we have to operate by faith, and I'm going to have to ask Lisa to sing that one more time. A cappella. We're going to live by faith. We're going to walk by faith. That's a good song. Amen. You should be singing that every day. So, Hebrews 8:6 says, but now he had obtained, let's talk about Jesus, a more excellent ministry. By how much more also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. We have a better promise. We have a better covenant than those guys. Jesus said he bought us with his own blood. He says in Matthew 26, verse 28, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Luke said, in Luke chapter 22:20, he said, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Luke writes a little bit different by the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11, 20, 25, the Bible says, Paul died, and the Bible says he went to heaven, the third heaven. And he saw a lot of things there, and God talked to God. If you went to heaven, you see a lot of things there that you cry about today, you'll be laughing about tomorrow. I learned this, what we cry about today, we'll laugh about tomorrow. Remember that. I tell my wife, the things I used to ask God, I used to cry about before, about the houses I cry about and the girls I wanted. I don't want that anymore. When God shows me things, thank God. Amen? I'm not saying any more about that. After the same manner, he also took the cup. 1 Corinthians 11, 25. When he had supped, saying, this is the cup, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Not just to remember Jesus on an emotional level, but remember what he did for us when he died for us. What did Jesus do when he purchased our blood? When we pass around the wafers and take the blood. What does that actually symbolize? If we actually did that in faith, there'd be such power in here that people can't stand up. It's amazing what can happen. We are bought. Everybody say, we are bought.
We are bought.
Acts 20 and 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock. This is a good thing for a lot of the pastors and the leaders in the church. And if you're a leader watching, it says, take heed unto yourself. In other words, you need to take care of yourself. Not only just take care of yourself, not only just your flock, but take care of yourself as well as your flock. Right? Like some people just give their whole lives and they don't eat right. They just give everything away and they don't enjoy anything and they feel like they have to be a martyr. Jesus did it all. Take heed to yourself, therefore, unto all the flock, and over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. These guys were leaders, pastors. To feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Jesus purchased us with his own blood. He bought the church. This is a blood-bought church. 1 Peter, like he says, in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, he says, for as much you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, from your tradition of your received from your tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you are bought with a price. The price was Jesus had to die and shed his blood. Like, you know, our salvation, we say, well, I can do anything I want. Really, not really. If you really want to look at it, yeah, you're free. It's a democratic world that we live in, and thank God we're free. We have some freedoms like some people don't have in other countries. If you live in a place like North Korea, I believe it is there. Is it North Korea? Korea? They don't have any freedoms. They don't have any. You can't just turn on any station and watch news from all over the world. In some parts of China, they don't have the freedoms like we do. You can't just come and go and say, I'm buying a ticket, I'm going to go to Florida. You can't just do that right away. You have to apply in advance for a long time. And they check you out, and if you don't come back, they'll take all your family and put them to jail, in prison. If you don't come back, the Canadian government's happy. They don't want you back. No. So I'm, you know, in different countries, I asked this girl, she was one of my helpers at teaching at the school this year. She's from China. I said, what if you don't go back? He said, no, well, if I don't go back, they'll take my family and everything they have to the government, and they'll put all my family in jail. So I have to go back home. So it's nice to talk about a little bit of our freedom. We have freedom. Thank God we can worship God here. Nobody's going to come in here with guns and cut your head off and say, this is, you know, a holy war. So we are bought with a price. Galatians says that Christ has redeemed us. The word redeemed again is to buy back with a price. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. There is a curse under the law. What is the curse? It's threefold as we understand this. It's spiritual death. That's where separation from God. Jesus brought us back to God through his blood. And sickness or disease and disease. And the third thing was poverty or lack or not having enough is poverty. Not having enough funds. Can't pay your, you know, whatever you have to pay. Your needs. Because some people think that their need is, you know, a 70-inch screen. Well, if you're a Leaf fan, maybe. But you know, you have to understand that we're free today. Jesus paid it in full. He paid our redemption so that we are free in spirit, soul, and body. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. So we have to glorify God in our body. Everything we do, we should all glorify God in our body. Because we've been bought. Your body was bought. It's not meant to go and do abuse with it. We're to be holy to God, separated unto him. No redemption of the blood, it says, Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission. No remission of sins. It's a forever fact. This is settled in heaven. Our redemption is forever settled. God accepted our redemption in the blood of, through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's done. It's a done deal once and for all. We've gained life in God through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. This is forever. He went into the most holy place, took his blood, and purchased our redemption for us. Thank God that we are eternally redeemed. We come to Jesus Christ. Now, you can walk away anytime you want. And like some people say, I'm not going to serve God anymore. They say, the heck with this. I don't want to be a Christian anymore. And they don't mean it, actually. They're just blinded, and they say a lot of things that are not so. People say a lot of things they don't mean. But if you don't say that too long, and you're out there and you're gone, come on back. How many of you ever told your mom, I'm not coming home, this is it, I'm leaving home. You packed your bags and came back in the afternoon. You decided it was lunchtime. Right? It's not good there by yourself. So, all of life is in the blood. We can find life in our blood cells today. Your blood contains all kinds of life in it. Life is in the blood, Leviticus says. And blood carries life throughout the whole entire body. There are certain facets in the blood that carry oxygen and to the heart and muscles, and nutrients to every cell throughout the entire body. It has germ-fighting agents and cleansing power to keep us healthy. Life is in the blood. Just like that, the blood of Jesus has life for everything we need. Can you say amen? The Bible says in Revelation 12:11 that, and they overcame him, that is the devil, they, referring to the church, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. In other words, by applying the blood, we can overcome not the Lamb, the devil. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So when we begin to understand what happened right back there all the way through till now, by applying the blood, we have this redemption. We can be set free today. And that's why Jesus said, do it as often as you can. Don't just wait till church services. Do it. Apply the blood. Recognize the blood, what it's done for you. Apply the blood all the time. Apply it to your car. When you get on the plane, apply the blood to everything. Pastor Ken and I, he always says, I apply the blood on the highway. We drive down the highway 1117 to our meeting for 5.5 years. One day, and then he quit. No, he applied the blood. He said, I applied the blood to every moose, every fox on the highway. They're going under the blood because I'm coming through. So that's what he did. A lot of times I saw a moose looking at me like this. Was that a moose? Smelled like one. Those who honored the blood in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, under the New Covenant, under the Old Testament, received deliverance and life. Rahab the harlot, they still call her that in the Bible, Rahab the harlot. Well, she got redeemed. How did they call you by the same thing? Roma the criminal. John the robber. We're redeemed. Everybody say, I'm redeemed. Over there in Joshua chapter 2, God told Joshua, go over there and take the land. I'm giving you the land. And he told them way back there that every place that the sole of your feet shall tread, I'm giving you that land. I'm giving you the whole thing. But you have to do the treading. You have to do the walking by faith and so on. Like, this doesn't come to you automatically. It's for you, but it doesn't just come on you. You have to do something. So God says, send the spies over. Or Joshua said, I'm going to send the spies over. We're going to send a couple of spies or a few spies over there. And we're going to learn about this city, because we're going to take this city. It has thick walls and so forth. And we're going to take this place, because God said, I'm going to take it. Go over there and check it out. So they found this lady. She was a harlot. And she protected those spies. She said, we heard about you guys. We heard about what God's doing in your lives and how God destroyed the different kingdoms or kings and so on, and how he helped you guys. And we're afraid of you guys. He said, they cut a deal. He said, listen, I want to protect you guys. When you come here and destroy this city, protect me and my family. He said, okay, we're going to do that. But you must place this scarlet thread in the window. Put this, scarlet thread, this is a symbolic of the blood of Jesus, in your house. And when we come, we'll not destroy you. We're not going to just kill you and your family. So after that, they got saved. This is applying the blood. It says over here, but Joshua, the Bible says, Joshua 2:18, but behold, when you come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down and by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Then over there in the 6th chapter, 22 to 25, and Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she had, and swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and her brethren and all that she had. All that she had. Not just them, but all she had. And they brought out their kindred and all them without the camp of Israel, and they burnt the city with fire and all that were therein. Only silver and gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into a treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and that she dwelt in Israel, even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent out to spy at Jericho. So, here is a picture of our redemption. We need to apply the blood of Jesus to our families, our own lives. When you're in bed at night, and you wake up at night, thank God for the blood. Lift your hand up in the nighttime and say, thank God for the blood. I apply the blood of Jesus everywhere. I want to apply the blood of Jesus to this house. This house will never burn down. There's no sickness in here. I'm claiming the healing and health for my home. We need to have faith in the blood. In order to have faith for anything, the word, like the word declares, we need to hear some teaching about it, some instructions on the subject. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Our sins have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But the blood has paid for other things which we need here on earth. The Apostle Paul said to the Romans, over in Romans 3:23 and 26, for all have sinned and come to the short of glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. The redemption that is in Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or a covering through faith in his blood. The redemption, he shed his blood. We need to have faith in that blood even today to declare his righteousness for remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, that this time his righteousness, that he might be a just and a justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We need to have faith in the blood of Jesus Christ today. We need to hear more teaching on what are we redeemed from. What does the Bible say that the blood did for us today that we can have faith in? I want to share with you seven things as we close out this service this morning, according to what the scripture says that you have because of the blood of Jesus. And we have to declare this stuff in our own lives. We have to say what the Bible says. In the Old Testament, Moses, under the Old Scripture, under the Old Testament, and the priest back then, took hyssop. And they dipped that branch and put it in the blood, and they applied it on the altar and all the stuff to sanctify the people. That's for temporary. And yet, you know, we have people doing symbolic things today that have really no application. They put their faith in different things. All that is symbolic. Whatever we do is symbolic. It doesn't save you, or you don't have to do it, but, you know, I mean, I wouldn't want to be in bondage to certain things. Like, for instance, you know, my old church I used to have to go into this dark box and talk to a man through a screen that I see in the dark and tell him what I did bad that week. Then he would bless me with a sign of the cross and send me out and said, don't sin again and do this and that for your freedom. So that's what I did. I don't have to do that anymore. I'm free. I can go to Jesus Christ, go directly to the man of faith, the man of God, Jesus Christ. He's my high priest. He went into the Holy of Holies and obtained eternal redemption for us, just like in my own culture. They say we have to do certain things in our own culture. No, I'm not bashing my culture. I'm just telling you what people do symbolically so that they can be accepted by God. I don't have to do all that. People get mad at me. They say, I don't like Romanov because he said all that stuff on television. Well, this word has to get out. Why aren't people talking about this? I'm sorry if you have to do all that. You don't have to. If you're believing just that. I should remember when I'd be so frightened as a kid in my bed thinking, what if I die this week? I've never made it to that little box. What if I die before the priest gets to my house and applies, you know, whatever they have to apply, give me the last rites? What if I don't? What if I die without that? What's going to happen to me? I would be frightened. But thank God I can do that right there on my bed if I happen to be sick and say, thank God, I repent, Jesus. Help me, and I'm in. And sometimes people say, well, I've got to go in here, into this tent here, and just, just sweat all night, and just I'm going to be clean. I'm going to apply this, you know, this smoke, I'm not going to make fun of that. I'm just saying that's what people believe. I don't have to do that. I can just ask God forgiveness. Now, you know, we do all things, even in this church, we do different things. You don't have to come here. We do it because some of people need help. We need to know if you're serious, or not. You can come from that chair and come right down there and say, God, I'm changing my life. I don't care who sees me. It takes a little bit of humility to get out of your chair and come here. It's easy to say you're sorry back there where nobody sees you. But it takes some gumption to get out of your chair and come up here and say, I'm not right with God. I want to be right with God. It takes a little bit more effort. And if you're serious, you'll do stuff like that. It won't take no humility back there and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, I did something bad. But it takes a little bit more effort, right, to walk by faith and to do stuff like this. Now, I don't want any letters. Whatever, you know. I mean, you know, we have to teach stuff. People are in bondage to a lot of things. And people have to come. You don't have to call the pastor. You don't have to call me to pray for you. You can pray for yourself. I've been trying to tell people to free themselves from the effort of trying to get everybody do something what Jesus already done for them. In our own churches, in faith churches, and you know, whatever, we need to be free totally in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we got that out. Okay. What are we redeemed from? What did we get bought from out of into something else? It says here, Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified. The word justified means you're, you know, justified, never sin. It means righteous. The word justified means you are righteous right now by the blood of Jesus. Being justified by his blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. We're acquitted, been declared innocent and not guilty for our sins because of the blood of Jesus. So that when the time comes to face God face to face, Jesus has declared you free and guilty from guilt. Right now, you're free. So if you drop dead now, you're going to be in the presence of God. You've been declared free. You're righteous right now. Everybody say, I'm righteous. You know, it's not what we've done. It's not how good you were or how much money you gave to the church last year. It's not how much your work in the ministry helps. It has nothing to do with all that. It has to do with what Jesus did already. We do all those things because we love God. And we want other people to have what we have. That's why we have television, send out all these newsletters, and we do efforts. We have, conferences. We have the faith conference every year because we want people to know what we're enjoying here. Because the devil has been successful in blinding people's minds and eyes. They don't know what we have. They say, you better not go there. You might catch what they got. Number two, the first thing that we have been justified, declared innocent. Number two, we are redeemed. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We are bought completely out from this Satan's hand into the hand of the blessings of God. We are no longer a slave to Satan and his crowd, and nothing can hold you back from serving God. You are completely free to get away, walk away. If you want to be free from the devil, just say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I was watching the other day, my wife and I watching this show. I got on, my smart television and got this 700 Club. Watch this guy. He was a priest. From the time he was 8 years old, he gave his life to Satan. His dad was a Satanist. And he said he gave his life to Satan, and Satan showed him all kinds of stuff. And he would time travel from his spirit. He would go to China, whatever, and he'd travel around the neighborhood. And, we ain't supposed to do that because, you're not supposed to come out of your body. You're supposed to stay in your body. Bible tells us we're not supposed to do that. Unless God does it for, to show you something, then you can do that. Now, so he said, one of the easiest things to do is kill Christians who don't know anything. They don't do anything. Denomination, the ones who don't have Jesus. He said, we had a heyday with those. We just killed those guys. There's no problem. But he said, when there's people who pray, you couldn't go into their neighborhoods. He said, there's a covering over those neighborhoods. We can't touch that because of the prayers of the saints. Amen. That's why prayer, the devil tells you, your prayer is not doing anything. I'm telling you, your prayer is doing a whole lot. And that's why somebody's not dead, because you still pray. You prayed for them. And they're continued to are saved. He said, it's easy. I said, we should kill all kinds of people. We take their blood, and I'd have to go and kill people to take their blood, because I'll offer it. They would do that in cities, and they'd kill somebody, take his blood, and offer it up, and they'd take blood. It's all about the blood, but the right blood. He said he met this girl. He liked this girl. This girl happened to be a Christian. He liked her so much, and he went to church with her just to say, I'm going to this church. This church doesn't do too much. And he said one day, he talked about getting saved and all that. But he got saved, born again, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He said, once I gave my life to Jesus, these spirits could not touch him anymore. Free. I said free. Free. Hallelujah. Amen. Freedom. It's good to be free. I remember casting devils out, and I could just sense the evil powers of some of these folks right out of the mental hospital, casting spirits out. You could just feel the oppression, actually, literally, physically feel the oppression of these evil spirits. Even sometimes in the mall, I go somewhere and somebody has unclean spirit. I could just sense that thing, man. Just so off, dirty and just vile. But we're free.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. You know, you have to teach this because people don't know this. You know, if you're bought, you're free. Take it and apply the blood and thank God. Say, I'm free. Everybody say, I'm free.
Amen.
You know, it's better to, if you got bad thoughts in your mind, you know how to get rid of it? You need to say something. The word from your lips. So we're redeemed. We're completely bought. Number three, we have peace with God. He says, having made peace through the blood of the cross. So we have peace with God. Right now, God's not mad at you. He loves you. And I don't have time to read all these scriptures, but number four, we are God's property. We belong to God. We are His children. We are His family. Hebrews 13:12 says, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, He sanctified you as His own special possession. 1 Corinthians 6:19-12 said, knowing what? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're God's. You belong to God. Your spirit belongs to God. Your mind belongs to God. That's why the devil can't attack your mind. You got to say, this is my mind. Jesus purchased my mind. When you got and you have trouble, just begin to confess the blood of Jesus. Number five, we are eternally saved. We don't have to worry that when you die, what's going to happen to you. We're forever saved. Now, God of peace, who brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His working in you, which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus, to whom be glory forever. Hebrews 13:20-21. This cannot be changed. It's forever done. Number six, we are clean. The Bible says that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. We're clean.
Amen.
We're not in darkness. We're not stained with sin. You're pure. Your spirit is cleansed. We walk in the light of God's word, walking in the obedience to the will of God and His purposes and plan. We are washed completely. Revelation 1:15 says, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins with His own blood. We're washed. Thank God. Lastly, we are victorious. Revelation 12:11, we read that. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimonies. Every time you see this in the Old Testament, whenever there was sin or whenever there was illness or plagues, they took the blood, offer sacrifices, and Jesus, the Bible says, God accepted that and healed them. Thank God. Let's go ahead and stand up and give God praise. Thank God for His blood this morning. Amen. Let's go ahead and thank Him this morning. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Shokuro moshiteli mikiso sokura bashandakara. Shakamo sondorabo site kiri maske sandara makasa tokura boshite. Thank Him for the blood, the blood of Jesus. I wonder if we could, can we sing that song, The Blood of Jesus? Monique can sing that song. Where are you, Monique? Come and help us out there. Where, you got a mic somewhere? Thank you, Lord. Let's sing about the blood of Jesus. Why don't we do that? And apply that blood to our lives. And we sing, we apply the blood to our whole lives. Thank Him for the blood of the covenant. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. We praise You. And the way we apply the blood today, they apply the blood with the hyssop in the Old Testament. We apply the blood with our tongue, our lips today. That's how we apply the blood of Jesus today. Let's lift our hands and begin to thank Him. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.